trying to go in order as much as possible on the list of requested topics. I think the next one was borrowing Sfarim without people's permission. Can you borrow Sfarim? You see Sfarim lying around, and they don't belong to you, and it doesn't belong to the Beis Medrash, where it's clearly meant to be for public use, so you're allowed to borrow without people's permission. I just would like to expand that topic to not only Sfarim, but also borrowing a talis, borrowing tefillin. You go somewhere you don't have tefillin on, you see tefillin lying around on the table, can you go and you use that person's tefillin, whoever it may belong to? So the sugya is the sugya Masechus Pesachim on the Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says, in Pesachim, Dalet Amud Beis, Yibayilu, Hamaskir Bayis L'chaver B'cheskas Badik. A person rents a house to his friend, B'cheskas, that the house is searched. U'matzosheinu Badik. And then you find that it's not searched. You find that the house, there was no B'tikas Chametz done on the house. So now, what's the din? Mi'avi Kamech to tell us hello. Can the renter say, I want out? I'm reneging on the deal. I don't want this house. So Tashma is in a Mekhatot. So it says Gemara Tashma Damar Abaye. Lomi bayi ba asu de lo yavi yegro badku de nichal yilin shkumi mitzvah begufe. Certainly in a place where people don't pay other people to be bodik their homes, they do the mitzvah themselves. So the renter, adraba, when he gets the house and he discovers that it hasn't had a bdikas chavetz, he'll be dancing for joy. I get to do the mitzvah. He was mezakami a mitzvah. Look, I get a mitzvah for free. So he'll be so thrilled. Not only that, even if the minhag of the makom that you're in is to pay people to be bodek the house, even then, the socher is going to be so happy to pay somebody. I get to pay for a mitzvah. I get to do the mitzvah. He's going to be so excited about it. He'll be so happy to be able to do the mitzvah. Rashi writes, this means, I mean, it's clear in the Gemara, this means that Dinihigi kol b'nei ir liskar botkin kolish beso diika hashta chesron kis afilu hachi iyad bei etmal the lo badik lava hadabei. That even though you know this is costing money, still you wouldn't have backed out of the deal just because it's costing you a few extra dollars. You'd be excited to spend this money. You'd be happy to spend this money in order to do the mitzvah of dikas chametz. The Meiri writes, this is within reason. Depends how much people pay. That it's only if it's small amounts of money. If people pay large amounts of money for bdikas chametz, then you would not be happy. Essentially, Meiri points out, and the fact that the Gemara really said, the Rishonim all point out, the fact that the guy is backing out is not megala that it's not nichalei, because maybe he's backing out because of some other problem he had with the house. He saw something else, or another deal came along afterwards, so he wants to be able to back out on his word. But essentially what emerges from this Gemara is that it's really all an umdana. It's all an evaluation of what people are happy with and what people are not happy with. People, if the assumption is that a person is happy for you to use his stuff for a mitzvah, even his money, even if it's going to cause him a loss, if you have the right to make that assumption, if that's the large majority, rove alone would not be enough. It would have to be a super rove over here, because ain't holchin b'mamon achar rove. You're not allowed to use other people's money and take other people's money based on a rove. If you have a super duper majority that people don't care about these things, people aren't makbid, so then you could go ahead and you can use their stuff without their permission. Absent that, you're not allowed to use it without their permission. You don't have that chazak. It's all an issue of a chazak of an umdana. And therefore, Beis Yosef and Archaim Simon Yadala discusses the following cases. When it comes to a talis, he quotes from the smack that you can borrow a talis without permission because nichlei linishtav and mitzvah monei, but if the talis is folded, you're not allowed to unfold it and borrow it, because someone who folds their talis shows that they care about their talis. So it changes the umdana. Beis Yosef quotes from the smack. It changes the umdana. If he folds his talis, he's careful about it. Which l'chora, the application of a talis, of just using a talis, is much less of a chiddush than the original Gemara, because the original Gemara is actually you're costing the guy money. Over here, you know, you're not costing the guy money, you're just using his talis once. The Mordechai writes, no, even if it was folded, if you fold it back to how it was, then it's okay, it might be okay, he's musupuk. So yeah, but maybe not, because maybe just the fact that the guy folded it shows that he's more touchy about his stuff, and therefore he doesn't want anyone using it, even if he's going to put it back to the way it was. Then Beis Yosef quotes from Ben Yeruchim that if you don't fold it back, then you're for sure a gazlan, and you couldn't make a bracha, but say a birich nietz Hashem. It's a connection between the sugi we did today. But say a birich nietz Hashem, that it's mamish, you're stealing, you're trying to make a bracha, and somebody birchs a mitzvah, somebody stole. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Can't do that. The Rush writes, our minhag is we borrow a talis without permission, and if it was folded, so you refold it, and we assume people don't mind. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the towns and places where they lived, what people were makbid about, what they aren't makbid about. There's no real din over here. There's only one din. The din is, if the super majority of people are not makbid about it, you can assume the guy's not makbid and he's happy to be able to have a mitzvah done with his stuff. if there's absent that supermajority, you're not allowed to use it. That's all. So all these Rishonim have different permutations and details, but it's really all one basic din. When it comes to Svarim, Beis Yosef quotes from Mukhei Yosef, that since Svarim can get overused and ruined if people borrow it without permission, so you assume that people do mind when it comes to Svarim. That was the Umdana. Then Mukhei Yosef has Shulchan Aruch and Simon Yud Dalet, Sif Dalet, Paskins, Mutu Litel Talis Chavelu Varichalel, Blavachei Kapalosoi Matzah Mekupelas. Like the Rush, you could borrow a Talis as long as you fold it up when you're done with it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'hu Adin B'Tfilin, Aval Asur Lilmol Misvarim Shel Chaveru B'lo Daita. Talis and Tfilin is fine, Svarim not okay. Why? Because no one minds when you borrow the Talis and Tfilin. People mind when you borrow their Svarim, because the Svarim ultimately are going to get ruined. Are there any exceptions to this rule? So there are many exceptions that are quoted in the Pesukim. Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Yud Gimel, and Simon Yud Dalet writes that even in these cases where you're allowed to borrow, you're only allowed to do it once in a while. If you decide, why should I bother bringing my tefillin to shul? The other guy's tefillin is always there. So his tefillin will become my tefillin. I'll use it every single day, and he'll be so excited. No good. Only once in a while. How much is once in a while? So the Makor Chaim, the Sivus writes, once every 30 days. That's it. No more than that. Also, you can't remove it from the premises. You can borrow it in that makom, but once you're removing it, you have to assume people are makbid about that you're taking it to other places. You have to assume people are going to be makbid about moving it to somewhere else. Also, if the owner is there, don't make assumptions. Ask him. If the guy is there, don't just start taking his stuff. Then you ask him if you're allowed to use it. Some poskim, the Makor Chaim, the Shulchan HaTorah hold, that we only say this whole din of you're allowed to use his stuff without permission based on the assumption that he's happy about it by a mitzvah chiyuvis, but not by a talis, which is only a mitzvah kiyumis, and you could daven without a talis. But especially if you're wearing talis katan, you would only say it by something like a like tefillin. If the guy is makbid, it's another exception. If you know the guy is makbid, you know this guy is very protective of his stuff, so then obviously you're not allowed to take it. Baruch HaShulchan assumes that that's the norm nowadays, that most people are makbid. So there are a significant number of contemporary poskim that say you should just avoid this entirely, because there's so many exceptions to the rule, and there's so many situations where you're not allowed to do it, and where you're going to move it, and you can do it. There are just too many rules, and therefore you should stay away from it entirely. Now, on the one hand, you say, wow, that's nice chumrah, stay away from using other people's stuff entirely. On the other hand, that's a chumrah, that's maybe the day kula, because then I won't put on a talis today. I'm not going to learn from the Sefer. I'm going to be vatal whatever Torah I would have learned otherwise from the Sefer. So when it comes to Sidurim and Sfarim, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Tazayin writes that, again, there's all in Simin Yadalit, says he's not sure why people are makel, but everyone, when they go to a shul, if they see someone else's sitter lying around, they always use it. And he's not really sure why people are makel about that. Shulchan Aruch in Choshem Mishpat, Simin Reish Sadi Beis, in Choshem Mishpat, says that if you give Sfarim as a Bikadon, the person who's watching over them is not allowed to use them, but if it's a Talmud Chacham, maybe he is allowed to use them, because that's part of the understanding. So again, it's all Talui in Umdina. So it's likely, It's likely that nowadays, now after the invention of the printing press, and Svarim are do not get ruined that quickly, and we have a decent binding in most of our Svarim, so it's likely that nowadays most people, the Umdana is that most people don't care if you use their Svarim. Not only don't they care, they're happy if you use the Svarim. Still, it's recommended to be clear about it, and to write in your Sefer something that indicates that that you don't mind people using it, and that you're happy if people use it. No lishtamish, no lahachzir, something like that. Please use, please return, Hashem Aratum Loa, whatever. Something that shows that you're not makbid. When I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, when I was in Keren B'Yavne, a lot of guys used to write in their svarim all sorts of like cherims and isurim and klalos for people who borrowed their svarim. Some of these Israelis were like, it's Isur Chamur, and so I remember the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita, Rabbi Greenberg, gave a shmuz about this. He gave a Musa shmuz. He said, I'm in the Beis Medrash at 4 in the morning every day, because that's the only time he really had to focus on learning without anyone asking him questions or anything. So he arrived at the Beis Medrash 4 in the morning every day. He's like, I want to look something up, and I see a Sefer on the table, and I pick up a Ritva, and then turns out I'm going to Gehenim because I picked up the Ritva. He says, why do you have to do that? I promise I'll return it. It would be nice if people would just say that you could use the Sefer, and it wouldn't be a problem. I would think that the Umdana nowadays, if you were to ask me the halacha, what I assume based on just knowing yeshivas and how they work in yeshiva bachrim, that using a sefer in the place without removing it from the place is assumed to be something that the person doesn't mind. Removing it from the place, you should not make an assumption that that's okay. I don't think you can make that assumption that it's okay to remove it from his place, because the guy comes in the interim and it's not there, or if you forget to return it. But in its rightful place, I think you can assume that a person doesn't mind. I'm not so sure you can assume that about tefillin nowadays, that people don't mind. If you don't know how to wrap it up just the right way, you know, people are mocked. But I'm not so sure what the umdana is. Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, you can borrow tefillin, the guy will be happy. It's probably better if you know the guy and you know that he really wouldn't mind. Like, you know, certain people, you know that they obviously wouldn't have a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Simon Yadalit that if there's a chilek in using Sfarim, if you're just going to look it up quickly, you look something up, that's okay. But to sit there using it, for a long period of time, that's a problem. But the other post, Mr. Chemer quotes, doesn't really understand why that should be the case, because if everybody's just going to look up for 1 second, so it could still ruin the Sefer. You still have the same problem ruining the Sefer. But again, the Kitzer, I think, most people are probably not makbid about the Talis, but again, you shouldn't move it, you shouldn't do it too often, you should be very careful about these things. Tefillin also you should be very careful about. Svarim, I think you can use it in the makom, as long as the person didn't write some sort of cherim against you or anything like that. You could use it in the makom, you just shouldn't take it anywhere else. And ideally, in all these situations, you should ask permission if you know the guy. If you know that he'll come to use his svarim often, or every once in a while, you should ask permission. And once you gain permission, then certainly you've avoided all problems.